Welcome back to Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott Wolf, Thomas Drantz. Do your little accent, Dom.
Do your fun little accent, Dom.
Nah, I can't. It's not my bag. I'll go home and practice tonight, but you won't be here tomorrow, so it won't matter.
Welcome to Canucks Talk with Josh Elliott Wolf and Thomas Drantz.
See, like, one of my last names is German, too.
One of them.
Yeah, so I should have it in my bag. I just don't. And that's okay. CIBC. Smart everyday banking helps you easily track your spending with confidence. Get $450 when you make the switch. Visit cibc.com/smart.
Now tell us about Kintech.
We're coming to you live from the Kintech studio, and you can text in on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber Sex Line. This does feel like there's an area of Disneyland that plays music that is basically this, and I don't remember where. It might be a ride, but this is like scratching a part of my brain.
Is
that
it Epcot Center?
I've never, well, no, Disneyland in California.
Ah, yes.
I don't know. Someone will text it in, maybe, on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. It is the final segment of the show on a Wednesday. We had the crossover off the top. We just talked to Books. Now it is time to get to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is the whiteboard on Canucks Talk, your daily deep dive into what's up with the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we start with the headlines. The Canucks beat the league best Winnipeg Jets 6-2. Beat up on the Jets. And we've talked about it throughout the show. It was a fun game. It was an exciting game. And that's something that has been missing for the Canucks, often throughout the season. The question now turns to, hey, how sustainable is this? Can you string a few of these games together? Because that's been an issue for the Canucks after they have good games even recently, especially when you're going into St. Louis. That is a pivotal game. We'll get to the playoff odds later in the whiteboard, but that is a pivotal game. If you can have a performance like you did last night to start the road trip in St. Louis, that would be incredibly key.
The truth is that the St. Louis Blues have a wildly favorable schedule the rest of the way. In fact, they have the lowest degree of difficulty remaining among any NHL team. For example, the Canucks will play the Blues and then go to New York to play the Islanders, the Devils, and the Rangers. Then they will play Columbus, a pretty dangerous rush attacking team that profiles as the sort of team that can give the Canucks fits.
The Columbus. Blue Drancers.
I love the Blue Jackets. Super fun to watch. And then they go to Winnipeg, right, to play a Jets team that they beat last night, but we know is super imposing, and that's a very difficult building to win it. So that's the Canucks' next five games after they play the Blues. The Blues' next five games, Blackhawks, Predators, Habs, Predators, and then a tough one against the Avs.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, they'll still have games remaining against the Penguins, against the Kraken, and then a potentially really interesting game 82 against Utah. So, you cannot afford to lose a four-point game in St. Louis, given that St. Louis is extremely likely to get minimum 6 points, maybe seven, maybe eight, in their next five thereafter, and you're going to be facing an uphill climb to do the same, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is, you have to put them in a hole because their schedule, heavily tilted toward home games, relatively soft, is very favorable for them to pass you quickly if you can't beat them on their home ice on Thursday night.
Yeah.
It's not a must win, but it is a vital game. The Canucks' path to the playoffs requires a regulation win on Thursday night.
It's the same vibe of the game against Utah, the same vibe of as the game against Calgary.
I think it's more important.
I think it's more important just because you're later in the season, and clearly they have a softer schedule and they kind of have the easiest road to the playoffs outside of the Canucks. Maybe including the Canucks just based on their schedule and being tied with Vancouver.
Having the best goal differential, right? Yeah. I mean, you know,
the only positive goal differential of any wild card team or any team pushing for the wild card in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
So tomorrow's game is going to be incredibly vital for the Vancouver Canucks. But if you get a performance like you did last night from someone like Brock Besser, that top line in general, Nils Höglander, we've talked about his game a little bit, but I wanted to highlight specifically on that second Besser goal.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first one out for that line, and then whoever else was on the ice went for a line change. It was only Höglander in on the forecheck against a few Jets, and Höglander was the one who emerged with the puck. He was hard in on the forecheck, and that is exactly what you need from Nils Höglander. It leads to the second Besser goal eventually, and it was just a really, really good play. And that's what you need to see from Höglander, especially when he's playing in the top six. Just be the guy that's getting in on hard on the forecheck, have high energy, be the complementary piece to Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser. Because I think he elevated the game of Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser last night. I'm not saying he's the sole reason for Besser having a few points. Obviously, Besser also had a really, really good game and was playing with more pace. But I think Höglander on that line pushes the pace of both Pettersson and Besser.
Yeah, and they need someone, I think, with that level of speed on that line, especially with the way that Pettersson, the diminished speed that he's demonstrated throughout the season. I think Höglander driving through the neutral zone is key. Man, it would be really helpful to have a guy like Filip Hedl back in the lineup for Thursday. We'll see exactly how that goes. And we know that Lankinen's going to be ridden pretty hard until Demko makes his return here.
Definitely. So did you have anything else for headlines or want to move on to the broadsheet here? Or?
No, just a great performance by the Canucks, turning the page on a dismal one against the Utah Hockey Club. And yeah, really impressive, really close. Like, I thought it was way closer than the scoreboard suggested. The Jets just didn't take their chances. The Canucks took theirs. It was Vancouver's night. There haven't been enough of those this
And it was
season.
An off night for Connor Hellebuck.
Oh, though, massively.
Which helps a lot. He almost gave up a pretty bad one, too, gave the puck away to Lecker yep. Mackey, but then made
You're
a
right.
very fortuitous save with the paddle coming back into the net. Talking about Lecker Mackey, we've talked about it a bit with Books, but him on the power play, I really, really liked. Even if Connor Garland is back for the next game, I think you roll with Lecker Mackey on the top unit.
I agree with you. Lecker Mackey has to stay there. Mm-hmm. He was so calm, so composed, moved the puck so well. And I think the most important part is that it bumps Besser to the net front, where I think he is excellent. Like, I think if you're going to get the most out of Besser, planting him down low in the bumper, you know, some interchangeability between him and Jake DeBrusk, I think that's best for DeBrusk. I think that's best for Besser, and I think that's best for the Canucks.
For the broadsheet, I did have some notes from the GM meetings in Florida, specifically Gary Bettman talking to media today in regards to the playoff format. Says he likes the way the playoff format is right now. The divisional, no 1-8, no play-in tournament. He likes the one. He likes what they have right now.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that the play-in would be better than what we have right now. If you had a play-in right now, there'd still be a pretty hot race to play postseason games. But it would just be, can Calgary, Vancouver, and St. Louis stay above the bar? With the Utah Hockey Club chasing, right? Because if you did it NBA style, right, effectively you'd have the top two wild card spots, which right now become the 7th and the 8th seeds. They'd play a game. The 9th and 10 seeds would play a game. The loser of the 7-8 plays the winner of the 9-10. So if you're one of the teams that would make the playoffs, you have to lose two to miss, right? So it's pretty heavily slanted toward the current playoff teams. What I like about it is multifaceted. I like that it would give the teams that are division winners an extra advantage. They get extra rest. They face more tired opponents right off the bat. It actually makes the regular season matter more as a result, right? Not less by expanding the playoff field, but more by giving extra edges to the best teams in hockey. I like that about it. I'd add that it would create all these cliffs within the NHL system, right? So it's like, you know, effectively there's like an extra advantage to being the top seed in your conference. There's an extra advantage to being the second seed in your conference versus the third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And then obviously you'd have more fan bases engaged around postseason hockey. You'd have more teams playing after game 82. You'd have more games that matter, and you'd have more single game elimination hockey, which we all know is the best form of the sport. So,
and you'd also make more money. You'd also, as a league.
Yeah, you'd also be creating an extra product to sell. So for me anyway, the league is just leaving free stakes for the regular season, free money, free attention on the table. And I don't think it does anyone any favors. Expand the playoff field. The play-in system that the NBA has devised is pretty close to perfect and should be immediately copied simply because it's a good idea that would make the sport better.
Other notes from Batman in Florida. All-Star game for next year, kind of up in the air because it's supposed to be in New York. Islanders hosting it. And it was supposed to be after the Olympics. But now it's kind of up in the air. They're maybe trying to figure out alternate plans. We'll see what happens. The wrinkle is the Islanders have already been marketing it pretty heavily, and that plays a part. But obviously, if you're the NHL, I don't know if you want your players, especially your elite players, playing the stress of an 82-game regular season, mixing in the Olympics in there, and then being like, hey, you know what? Also go to an All-Star game.
Well, you've got to fit in the Trump. Team right. Trump versus Team Biden, or sorry, Team Trump versus Team Putin.
That would be good.
That would be funny. It's like a whole team of left wings versus a whole team of right wings.
We really find out the truth about these guys. it will not shock you.
And dressing for Team Biden, nobody. Yeah. Anyway, the Russia America Summit Series game, like right. That's what's going to fill it in.
Yeah, well, they'll probably just schedule that during the Olympics,
and maybe you can have the winner play the actual best team. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would agree to that. But, you know,
I think in the U.S.'s ideal world, they just have the Canadians playing for them, though, because.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's true.
Anyway.
Yeah. John Cooper's comment that was like, man, we'd have a heck of a team. Yeah. There'd be like two Americans on it.
Yeah.
That's not true, but whatever. Yeah. It's fun to be a jerk.
Also.
Quinn Hughes would be on it. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Also from Bettman, CBA talks will start in April. Elliot Friedman was saying today that he's got a good sense of when things are usually a little bit messy or could be messy.
Tom, did you have that on Friday?
What?
Did you have what?
That things would be messy?
With
sorry,
what?
I'm hearkening back to our little beef.
It wasn't a beef.
Couple weeks
I don't
ago.
Know what you're saying.
What beef did you guys
I love
have?
When Dom does this, is that he goes back to like something that no one else remembers, but yeah. He does.
And I wasn't even here for it. Like, that's okay. A quarter of the people.
Jamie just was like, as Elliot Friedman reported on Saturday, but it was he was like passing along a nugget that I'd reported the day before. And I'm like, bro, credit your host.
I see.
credit your co-host.
I don't think you
and
have
And Dom,
this
of
one.
Course, took it personally. Like, I'd taken a shot at 32
Absolutely.
Yeah. An excellent podcast
how
product, which had nothing to do with what I'd said.
Empty
so.
Words.
Yeah, sure. But Elliot Friedman today said the vibes around the CBA talks seem good.
It's you know, the content on 32 Thoughts is so good that it is still an elite podcast despite being poorly produced.
That's yeah. my guy right there.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
They really overcame a lot to put out a good product.
How do you explain this show?
Lena's producing.
I don't explain this show. It stands on its own.
People can't see, but Dom literally is holding a mini stick, just waving it at
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
This is
conducting.
I miss Lena.
You're saber rattling. All right.
Also, a couple more notes. Bettman does not favor extended 3-on-3 and, he did not hide that he is not a fan of the decentralized draft. So I wonder if, especially after how successful the draft at the Sphere was, if they look to start going back to the Sphere or something similar in the future.
How would you feel about extended 3-on-3 only in like the last 10 games, provided that the teams are within a certain number of points of one another?
Oh my gosh. There's too many
like,
contingencies.
Crazy stakes.
Well, like,
you would
like,
know going into the game,
like,
though.
I definitely
be a long
don't want to see an extra point between St. Louis and Vancouver on Thursday decided by shootout.
So
just on. like I didn't like seeing it against Calgary.
What if the game that decides whether or not you get to play in overtime ends during your game. See, there's way too much going on.
What are you talking about? Like, if that was not a good point.
No, it is, because if there's a 5 o'clock start, because you have to be a certain amount within each other, right? So let's say there's like a 5 o'clock start.
Okay.
That like changes that somehow.
So what you're saying is if another game impacts the standings to a point where the Canucks and Blues was even more meaningful.
Yeah.
That
by the end of the game.
By the end of the game, they have to switch.
It's only a five-minute overtime.
I think that's an easy fix because you do it with, like, the playoff bar at the start of the day. So it's like if you're within 5 points of a playoff spot in the last 10 games of the season, let's avoid having shootouts determine playoffs.
So what they do right now...
Especially if we're not expanding the playoff field. Yeah. Like, especially if we're having this absolute cutoff. You know what I mean? I think at the very least, the league should be trying to minimize the impact of shootouts because it's a pure coin flip and it sucks.
What I do believe happens right now is if the game decides a playoff spot, so like last game of the year and it all comes down to this, like for example, this year it could be Utah St. Louis. They play 5-on-5,
well,
right?
It's continuous. The league should be taking the end of season stuff more seriously. Like last year was such a train wreck with like Sidney Crosby's playoff feat being decided by the Flyers pulling a goaltender unaware of the score of another game. That's how this season ended for Sidney Crosby last year.
The beautiful game.
John Tortorella pulled his goalie, not realizing what the score was in a different game and that he shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, that's
and
also
that's
just
Torts' issue.
That's
and
also
the empty
bad
net goal,
planning.
100%, but the empty net goal determined Sidney Crosby's playoff fate. And the league's just like, it's all working great. It's not! It's
whoa,
not.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's a problem.
You're peaking.
Yeah, you peaked.
It sucks. Like, just a little bit of creativity can go such a long way, in part because if you're watching hockey right now, you are seeing the fruits of one of the most talented generations of players we've ever seen. These guys are so committed. Their work on individual skills in the summer. I mean, you've seen it with Quinn Hughes up close and personal if you're a Canucks fan. The way that he's redefined what he is as an attacking player. The work that he's put in the summer on his nutrition, on his shooting ability, on his shooting technique, on how to attack goaltenders. Like, you're seeing it, and it's thrilling. And you're seeing it around the league. And as a result of this sort of, like, bottom-up innovation, the NHL product has gotten itself to the best place it's ever been. Like, honestly, you've got 900 save percentage league-wide. You've got more goals. You've got star players making the difference night after night, as opposed to it just being like, who has the best third line and controls play the best? Mm-hmm. It's like, who does the most creative thing? Who scores the most? Who takes their chances? It's shooters that are determining outcomes the way we want. And the truth is that the league has gotten itself to this spot solely because of the accumulation of individual decisions made by the players, held back, frankly, by the institution of the league itself. Like, this is not a credit to a league that refuses to innovate or consider new options. The best thing that the league has done in 10 years is the Four Nations Face-Off. Why did it work? Because the players agreed that it mattered. Like, the players stepped on the ice and decided that it mattered.
But it's a CBA thing, right, Thomas?
If well,
they
yeah
wanted to make any changes. So if the players
what, sorry,
came
what,
to,
what are you talking about?
To overtime. The players would have to agree to it.
Well, the players wouldn't want it.
Also the rules of the league are not CBA governed.
Overtime it's, would not be like overtime changes wouldn't have to be agreed.
There's no section
by
of
the
CBA going over NHL rules. That's GM competition committee. Like, the league would obviously have to work in partnership with the PA on various, especially if you're extending the season or adding games, like stuff like a play-in, for sure. You'd need the PA to be involved.
So if realistically, with what you're saying, if the PA came to the league and was like, we would like this format, which you're explaining, the NHL would have to listen, yeah?
Sure.
So it's really up to the players.
Well
but
partly.
At some point, a little bit of leadership would be helpful. Like, have you looked around the league? Their penalties are down, for mm-hmm example, right? It's not like scoring is being juiced artificially the way it was in 2005 by, like, a commitment to calling the game. In fact, if you're watching the NHL product right now, like, one thing that's way up is picks, interference, especially on incoming forecheckers, which limits mistakes, which slows the game down. I don't love that personally as a viewer, But yeah, I just think there's a little bit of leadership that should be shown. And I think if the league is looking, and we'll see how it unfolds this year, there's pretty good playoff races in both the East and the West. Playoff races that would be enhanced, by the way, by a play-in. If it has the same anticlimactic finish, if you've got playoff positions being determined by the shootout, if you've got, you know, coaches unaware of the actual stakes of their decisions, deciding the fate of other teams in game 82,
yeah,
like that should be something that the league takes seriously and accepts that they can do better.
Quickly to the playoff. And
Dom, do you want to keep defending the league?
No, I wasn't going to defend the league. I was just going to point out in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference, you have four teams in the play-in with losing records. So that...
Yeah, but that the NBA, that's like different in
but
the NBA.
So what's going to be the cause of this? What's the result going to be?
That you have... Ultimately, you'll have two teams with losing records that get into the playoffs.
Would you have that if you'd had the if you didn't have the play-in?
Yes.
Oh. Uh-huh. Now,
you have
now,
four teams with that possibility.
Now, with these teams... that are have losing records and have to go through the play-in, are they going to go into game one against the Cavs and the Celtics on a level playing field, or are they going to have done it having played extra games?
That one.
Okay. So does that actually make the success that the Cavs and the Celtics have enjoyed this season matter more, since they'll have a rest edge over those teams that you don't think belong in the playoffs?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, quickly on to the playoffs and standings update.
The defense rests.
According to Dom's model, today, after yesterday's action, so the Canucks, they obviously beat the Jets. Elsewhere, the Flames beat the Rangers 2-1. The Rangers sucked last night. They were outshot 35-13 by Calgary, and the Flames were on the second half of a back-to-back. Blues beat the Predators 4-1. Utah, they got stomped by Edmonton 7-1. So today, the playoff odds, according to Dom's model, look like this. The Canucks at 55%, up 7% from the day before. The Blues up 2% to 24%. Flames at 16, that's also up 2. And Utah with a big dip. They go from 19% before yesterday's games to 9% today. For the Utah Hockey
Brutal.
Club.
Bad day for me. Playoff odds to make the playoffs in the Western Conference. Canucks plus 130. Blues plus 180. Flames plus 310. Down significantly despite the big win in New York. The Utah Hockey Club down massively to plus 650. By the way, the line is open for Tuesday's game in St. Louis. Canucks are road dogs plus 110.
Adds up, but it's close. But it's close.
Yeah, 55-45, weighted coin flip.
Two games tonight out of town. Colorado Avalanche in Toronto and the Seattle Kraken take on the Minnesota Wild. So nothing impacting the wild card race in the West. Appreciate everyone texting in on the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber text line. Everyone listening as well. Thank you to Lena producing at home. Thank you to Dom. Thank you to Arash. Thank you to my co-host, Thomas Drantz. I've been Josh Elliott-Wolf. This has been Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650.